Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. And today I am joined by Nick from Psychic Readings by Nick, who has kindly agreed to come on the podcast and share her knowledge, her story, and her work with us all. So welcome, Nick. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very, very excited to talk to you. So I always like to start at the beginning because I'm that kind of girl. How did you find out that you could do this work?
Well, it's a bit of a long, I wouldn't say complicated, but I think looking back now, I think my journey started from when I was very, very young. I was always a child that was constantly anxious. Mm-hmm. And I remember actually feeling that anxiety as a child. I always felt very different to people around me. I felt very disconnected to my family. And don't get me wrong, I came from a very loving family, but a family that I had a Mediterranean dad and an Asian mum. So both very strict, unemotional, you know, sort of upbringings. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was very emotional. And looking back, I remember seeing my first spirit when I was 6 years old. And I'll never forget, it was very vivid. It was in the middle of the night, and this man was standing at the end of our corridor. And my biological granddad actually passed away when my dad was 6 months old. So I'd never met him, never seen any photos of him, but was actually really convinced that this man was my dad because it looked just like him. It was very, very vivid. And that's my sort of first memory looking back of spirit. I then became very obsessed with my granddad, not realizing that actually that might have been him.
Yeah.
And I didn't really come from a family that was very spiritual either. And I think looking back now, I think from a child is when I was, you know, sort of going through what I call now perhaps sort of picking up empathetically on other people. Mm. I used to have very vivid dreams, used to get very anxious, and actually also hearing voices as well. And I remember being on holiday and hearing voices and hearing somebody call my name, and was trying to convince myself that it was somebody selling stuff outside on a megaphone, and I was, you know, because I was literally petrified because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And then when I hit the age of 13, I went through a very, very difficult time in my life. And I look back and I think a lot of it perhaps ties in to this spiritual empathetic side. I got really depressed, I really struggled to be with my family. And I ended up having to leave home when I was 14 to live with family. Just, I wouldn't say that there was one specific thing. It was just a very difficult time. And I don't think that my parents knew how to deal with it. And so I think all my life up until I was maybe 20, I kept having these very difficult experiences. I kept really struggling to fit in. And then when I eventually left and went to uni and got a job, I think that's when it really turned, really picked up for me, because at the age of 22, I think I went through a very traumatic experience with somebody that I was very close to. And it kind of almost kick-started something, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I then went through what I call a classic spiritual awakening. I all of a sudden couldn't sleep. I felt very alone, but I also felt like I needed to be alone, if that makes sense.
So absolutely.
I had a very great circle of friends around me at that time, but I also started to feel like I had to spend time on my own, almost to rediscover who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And actually through a great series of what I call synchronicity, I somehow ended up finding this lady that went on to be my mentor, actually. And then after that, you know, my life really changed from that point. It still wasn't easy, but that's kind of really how, yeah, that's really my story of how it all started, really.
And I think this is really interesting. And so many people that are called to mediumship and spirituality will understand what you're talking about, because, and this has been so interesting, always the timing, because yeah, there's been something bubbling up inside of me about trauma and feeling like you don't fit, and that actually being the mediumship path for those people that are called to it. I have never met anybody that works with spirit that has had an easy ride.
Yeah, and I think as well, I think it's important to understand that there are many things that other people may perceive as, you know, a naughty child or, you know, medical conditions like anxiety. And I'm not saying that they don't exist or it's not part and part of, you know, the parcel. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of those things, like I look back and I actually remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I mean, I'll never forget this. My parents had a shop and my mum had gone off shopping and I felt really anxious. And I kept saying to my dad, and I remember my dad actually losing it with me because he was like, you can't say stuff like that. And I was like, when's mum coming back? I've got a really bad feeling. And I look back now and I realise it wasn't that I had a bad feeling about my mum. It was just that I was maybe picking up on something else that felt, you know. So, yeah, I think there's always signs. And when we talk about trauma, it doesn't mean trauma in maybe ways that other people understand. It's trauma that's very personal to you in one way or another, whether it be big or small, that's really shaking you up.
Absolutely. I mean, and so much of that is to do with your emotional state, because I say this to students, somebody could say something to you one day that bounces off and doesn't affect you and say it to you on another day and it can cause an energetic wound. So you never know. One person's trauma is another person's not bothered. And we're all individuals in that. But I think all mediums are more sensitive. We feel more. It's the journey of tears and laughter. There's lots of fun. Yeah. But lots of sadness. So, and of course, you know, in a shop as well, you've got not just the spirit world communicating with you, but you've got people coming in with their stuff. They're having a bad day. They've brought that energy into the space that you're in. So
100%.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So you found your mentor and then it started to make a bit more sense to you and a bit more of an understanding. And how did your development path go?
I think for me, it happened very naturally. It happened very, very naturally. I didn't need to fall. I always say that this path found me. I didn't find it, if that makes sense. This is what I was. I never planned to do this, you know, and actually very ironically that one of the first, it's going to sound very ironic, I'm a psychic that doesn't really have many readings, but when I do, I have them at a time in my life where I really need them. But my ever first reading, before I even embarked on this spiritual journey, the person sitting opposite me said to me, you will be doing what I'm doing one day. And I actually stopped listening because I was like, this is the biggest load of rubbish I've heard. But it came very naturally, and I think I developed very quickly. And I felt at that time that I needed to develop very quickly. I as soon as I decided, right, OK, it's knocking on my door and I want to open that door, I then felt very hungry, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I felt like I needed to understand, but I also needed to control it. I wouldn't say I became obsessed, but I was very focused on being able to understand what was happening to me spiritually, develop it, embrace it. And I think from then on, that's kind of how it really started for me. But I think this lady got brought into my life and she really helped me open up and develop and really understand what was happening. But then I also think that spirit, and this is why I always believe spirit have a plan for you, is that then your friendships change and the people around you change. This lady, actually, I'm no longer in touch with, because you find that there comes a point where you have to find your own path, regardless of, you know, other people and other people. If I don't know if you know what I mean, but you
absolutely.
Know, and I never planned on doing readings full time. I never planned for this to be my full time job. In order to be able to develop my abilities, I actually worked very briefly on psychic lines. But it was more, again, like a part-time thing, something that it would give me the opportunity to really be able to share my gift while allowing me to grow. I don't know if you find this, but I find that for me to spiritually grow, I need to read and be able to share, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then I think me being in the place that I am now, working full-time as a psychic medium, really happened when I had my little boy. And I think I had, and I wholeheartedly believe that everything happens for a reason, you know.
Wow, I love this. Sorry, I just daydreamed off into your story there and I forgot to, who's asking the questions? It's me. So I love this. So funny enough, we had somebody else on the podcast quite recently who did exactly that, started on the psychic hotlines and sort of earned their stripes doing that and then took that leap into doing it for themselves. So how long have you been working for yourself?
I would say about 8 years now.
Amazing. And how has your work changed during that? Because we're always learning, always growing, aren't we?
It has definitely changed, and it hasn't come without its fair share of wobbles. But actually, every time I've had a wobble, it's been because, and it's going to sound so cliche, and I hate sounding cliche.
Do it.
But it's because I had to be pushed for something else to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was working a lot from my private Facebook, although I had a page, and then something happened with that where I had to sort of like confirm my telephone number or something like that, mm-hmm. and my number had changed, and I couldn't, and then I lost my profile, and then I really had to work on working on my page. So the way that my work has changed over, you know, the years is in terms of how I work, where I work,
mm-hmm.
my confidence in being able to work the way that I work now, and trusting the messages that I get. So in that sense, that's really how my work has changed, but also having confidence in sort of understanding my limitations, accepting my limitations and understanding really that I have the right to say no to some things. I have the right to say yes to some things. Understanding that not everybody is going to agree, like, understand how I work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that sense, I've really, really grown in having that confidence of knowing, you know, my truth about my work. And not being offended by, and I'm sure you've had it, clients that are maybe not even just, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry, but even clients that think they have a certain right or,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really how I feel, that I've changed and grown and that my work has grown.
Absolutely. And this is such a key thing. And I say this to my students all the time. You can't beat actual experience doing the job, doing the work, because there is so much that comes from just the experience of it and the knowing of it. And you're right, I think confidence is 80% of the battle. How many times have I got in the way of a message when I've gone, was that what you said, was it, or was it this, and then changed it?
100%. I was doing a reading for somebody yesterday, and I just kept getting an image of a cake and lemons, and I was like, I'm really sure she's not talking about a lemon cake, but she's talking about baking. And she was like, yeah, because her surname was Baker.
Yeah.
And had I not, in the past, I would have gone, I don't know what you want to say, I don't know, and then not pass it on.
Yeah.
But I think as well, for me, the difficulty is that a lot of people think that there is a certain way you should read,
mm-hmm.
or a certain way that message. I'm sure you've had it where they've gone, what was the last thing I've said to them?
Oh, my God. I've had people ask me for a password. Like, please leave. What? And that, I think, is. Do you know what, Nick? Because I've interviewed lots of mediums, and you know what it's like, it's done it to you, it's an obsession, isn't it? Even when you're not working for spirit yourself, you're watching other mediums work, and you become like a sponge, you can't get enough of it. And every single medium that I've asked, none of them read in the idea that I thought readings worked before I became a medium. And it's like the idea in on TV, when you watch TV shows and things like that, it gives you an idea of that we're going to actually be having a conversation.
And I think this is half the battle. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to come on here today is because I think it's good to talk about these things. I think people sometimes need, and it's not ignorance, I don't think people are honest enough sometimes, or, you know, want to be honest enough sometimes. I think we share this idea of we're going to know everything, and we, you know, a reading's going to be 100% accurate. It doesn't always work that way, you know. You've got free will. You know, if I tell you that you're going to wear red knickers tomorrow, but you could wake up tomorrow and go, actually, I don't want to wear red. I want to wear blue.
Yeah.
You know, you've got free will in terms of how you, you know, and I always say to my clients, take the reading today, embrace it, engage with it, and let it go and trust that what's meant to be for you will happen. Use it as a guidance, but don't. I don't encourage, and I've had to say no to reading for certain clients that become obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm here to offer you guidance, but I don't want you to become obsessed by it, you know.
Absolutely. And you've got to live your own life, and spirit aren't here to take away the journey, because what's the point if we're just going to follow a set of instructions?
100%. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's a journey, and you can be offered glimpses of hope and guidance, you know, so you know that you're okay. But, you know, I have clients and they go, well, but I want to know this and I want to know that. And I'm very, very disciplined. And I'm like, well, actually, I don't know, because I'm not being given that. You know, spirit will give me what they feel that you should know today. And I'm not willing to compromise my readings or to compromise for me to give you information just so you can feel better for the next 30 seconds a day, 2 hours, you know, only for
absolutely
that.
And that kind of integrity is so crucial and so important, and sadly not adhered to by all mediums. So I could easily make up some absolute hoo-ha, because let's be honest, when you're working psychically, you can tell that what the need is in most people. You
can,
but sometimes spirit, in their infinite wisdom, know it's not about fulfilling today's need, it's about tomorrow's potential. And so I'm not going to tell you that a tall dark stranger is going to come in with £1 million and worship you and you can just completely escape your life, if that's not what spirit are saying, even if it will make you feel good for the next day.
And I always say to my clients in a reading, you may not get what you want to hear, but if you allow the messages to come through, you can come away from that reading feeling empowered.
Yes.
So even though you haven't received what you've wanted to hear today, there will always be a message of empowerment to let you know that
always.
You will be okay. And it is your choice whether you want to take it on board or you want to be fixated by that idea of, this is what I want to hear.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Completely.
I think journey, that's where I've had to learn to trust that. Sorry.
Absolutely. And yeah, you're right. And it's so hard to be strong in that. And it's so hard when you're empathic, which I think all mediums are. So you're sitting in somebody's need and you can feel their need, but you also have to have that strength of integrity of trust in the spirit world and the journey. And it's a balance. So yeah. Now I know that you do lots of readings. You're a busy, busy lady. So tell us about the kind of readings that you offer.
So I do mediumship readings, of course, but I do a lot of different type of readings. So life readings, readings focused on career, finances, love. So, you know, various different readings depending on what the client wants and needs at the time. I also do email readings where you can simply ask questions, because not everybody wants a full 25, 30 minute, 40 minute session. Some people want, you know, direct basic guidance questions to things that they may have. But I also always aim as well to suit the budget of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and offer a selection of readings that allows you to get the guidance that you need, that you don't need to put yourself in a position that you financially can't afford. And I think that for me was really important, because I think money is always a very difficult subject.
Yes.
When it comes to the work that we do, because a lot of people think that because you have the gift or you do what you do, that it should be free.
Yes.
And I think this is something that I've battled with for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had, you know, loads of messages going, well, you know it should be for free, you should be ashamed that you charge and all this kind of thing. But, you know, it's precious, you know, and it's my time and it's my energy. You know, so I try to suit all budgets. So, you know, I have, you know, and I try to offer as often as I can. But yeah, I do readings that cover all sorts of, you know, mm-hmm. all aspects of life. If I can't answer something, I'll be very honest about it. And yeah, I offer readings to suit different types, different things, different aspects of your life. Focused.
Love it. And you're absolutely right about the money. I've talked about this on the podcast before, and I did a TikTok that inflamed some people quite recently about this exact thing. Because, yeah, you can call it a gift if you want. My personal belief is that it's something that's available to everybody in one way or another. You have to spend a lot of time developing it
100%.
And working with it. And I have dedicated the best part of 15 years and a hell of a lot of money to get to the standard that I'm at. So I think it's also that idea that there are other kinds of things that are gifts from God, aren't there? Like having very steady hands if you're a surgeon, or having a beautiful voice
if you're a singer.
Yeah, exactly. And you wouldn't say to them, well, you shouldn't be charging.
And it's so ironic that you say that, because I use that analogy all the time.
There you go. Because it just seems to be this funny idea that of judgment. But also, I think people that don't want to pay, they are often not in the right space to receive either. And but so
I also think people that don't want to pay a lot of the times are looking for something whilst not necessarily believing.
Yes.
And so then they expect, you know, I've recently had a client that's asked me questions, and my admin has sort of sent off a price list, and she goes, well, I don't believe anyway, so no thanks.
Yeah.
And I don't respond, but I do feel a little bit offended sometimes, because I think, well, why did you ask?
I think as well, people don't understand the cost of being a medium, and that feeling of wanting to help. And really wanting to help, but also understanding that people have to be in the right space for you to be able to help them. And then also needing to eat. Like, I am a physical human being. I like to eat. Yeah, exactly.
And I think as well, and going back to what you've said before, the amount of money that you yourself have spent into developing your abilities, you know, buying books, buying the tools that you're going to use if you do use tools to perform a reading, the space to be in for you to be able to do that reading, you know, the room, or, you know, the light, or the computer, or the phone. And like you said as well, and I, you know, a lot of my clients ask me this, we are all born with a psychic ability, some more naturally than others.
Yes.
But it's the same as we're all born with any ability. It's down to you whether you want to receive it, open up to it, embrace it. So money is always a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
And I've in the past couple of years, I've learned to really not be savvy, but just understand that it is what it is. And this is what I charge. This is what I feel that my energy is worth. Mm-hmm. And spirit will not, you know, bring you along my path, you know?
Well, there's plenty of people out there that offer free stuff. But then quite often, I think when people go for the free stuff, they realise it's not fulfilling the need, because that person is just not maintaining their energetic boundaries, giving and hemorrhaging all of their energy. So, the standard changes. So there's all flip sides to all of it. And everyone has to do what they are comfortable with. So viva the revolution. Here we go. So what do you think is the biggest sort of problem facing modern mediums at this time? There's a question for you.
It's a very interesting question. I think definitely how we work. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you get this a lot. I have clients that go to me, well, I think going into lockdown, I think COVID technology, you know, has enabled us to read in a completely different way. You know, it's opened up so many avenues, you know, and I love it, because I think you can reach so many people. You can reach so many different type of people, you know, and I love it. I think it's great. But I also think, as a modern psychic medium, that and I completely understand that a lot of people will be a little bit skeptical, you know. How do I know that you're telling me the truth? How do you connect to me if you're not sitting in front of me, touching me, or holding my hand, or holding my jewellery? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's overcoming that, you know, being able to educate people and perhaps a little bit about how the psychic world works, you know, this misconception of, oh, you have to be sat in front of me for me to be able to read you, or I have to see you in order to, you know, to be able to give you the right information. So I think for me, in terms of modern and, you know, the past couple of years, especially with lockdown and COVID and not being able to have that, you know, being in the same room interaction, I think has certainly been something that has been great for the for us as mediums and psychics, because it's allowed us to, I think, grow our businesses, but also reach people, whether it be in America, Canada, you know, wherever you are in the world. But at the same time, I think we have to do it with integrity and being able to educate people on how we are able to do that. Because with that as well, and something that I've really experienced this week, comes the annoying people that try to scam.
Oh God.
So talking about modern phones, Instagram, Facebook. It's been relentless for me this week on Instagram. Relentless. I'm actually looking to rebrand my whole page, because if you go on Instagram and you search for me, you get about 5 profiles.
Yeah.
With one of them only being me. So I think there's a lot to overcome, you know, and I try to educate my clients, and I try to, you know, I will never contact you. I will never add you. I never follow my clients on Instagram. No. Purely because I don't feel that I should be influenced by anything I may or may not see on your Instagram or your Facebook to in a reading. I like my readings to be as authentic as possible. Yeah. And I think, so those are little things, you know, scammers, you know, people trying to imitate you. I think as your page grows and as your following grows, but not even as, you know, I'm very lucky that I do have a big following, but I also know pages that have smaller followings that have exactly the same problem. And I think those are all challenges that at the minute we need to navigate through.
Amazing. You've covered so much there, and I agree with every single one. For me, it was really interesting going into lockdown, because I'd only worked in person. And so when I was forced to do it online, I had the same resistance that some of my clients now have. And what I found was I preferred it. As a medium, I prefer. I just find it easier. I think people bring their energetic baggage when it's in person and sort of drop it in your space.
And do you not also find that there is a more of an expectation when it's in person from both parts, I yeah. think, where when it's not, I think there is, it's more relaxed, so you're able to read better.
Absolutely. And then, you know, bless clients, but when they're excited and you're in person, they can sometimes turn up half an hour early and that kind of thing. You know, when it's in a Zoom room, no problem with that. So there's things with that. And you are exactly right about scammers. It is such a problem, and I don't think it's going to be a problem that's resolved until people empower themselves and wake up. Because I have done 8-9 posts in the last 6 weeks on Instagram about scammers. I've set it to music and sung songs. I've done serious knowing ones. I've done joke ones. I've tried to get the message out there. And I mean, I'm the amount of time it takes to reply to people to say that is not me is monstrous.
And again, I think, again, you know, I've had to do a voice post this week to say, right, you know, this is not me. And I think it is really relentless. I mean, this week, one of my regular clients played along with one of the scammers and got back in English bank details. I couldn't believe it. I thought these were people abroad.
Yeah.
And it was a Barclays bank account, actually. And I actually called up Barclays myself and said, you know, and I think the account got, and then within 20 minutes they were using a different account.
Yeah. And I mean, I've reported them to Instagram myself and said they're impersonating me, and had responses from Instagram saying we won't take them down, they're not defrauding the system. So if we know that Instagram won't take them down, when they're using my pictures, my name, my content, if they won't take them down for that, and I'm doing as many posts as I can, it's very difficult. And I think the trouble with mediumship is because people are, it's almost like a test. You set the spirit world. I'm having a bad day. Do you know that I'm having a bad day? Are you going to help me? And then you get a scammer in your inbox saying, I was drawn to the energy of your name, Grand Risings.
Oh my God, that's a common one.
When have you ever used that?
I know. I think it's all about educating your clients. And unfortunately, you are going to have the couple that do fall for it, but yeah, what can you do? And I think as a, you know, talking about the modern society, I think it's something that we all need to learn to adapt with and live with, you know. And I think it's not just the psychic world that seems to be dealing with this, but I think more, I think for me it's more insulting when it happens, because you are, you have people that are genuinely looking for guidance that might have been someone's last 20 quid.
I know.
And people are willing to part with that to get the guidance that they want.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I really struggle with.
It's just horrendous. But you're right. I mean, if I see one more person on Facebook sharing a bloody mobile home that this company is saying they ordered one too many by accident, so they're going to give it away on Facebook, because obviously they are.
Is it not interesting that people won't fall for that?
Yeah.
Is it because, not, do you not think that people will think twice? You know, people won't fall for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's, and I'm really, it's something that I feel very passionately about, this whole scamming thing. And it's something that I have sleepless nights over, because I just worry so much about getting scammed out of. But yeah, I think, all you can do is report and,
and hope that people will see. And the trouble is, on social media, as you know, our posts for the genuine accounts are being held back because they want us to pay. So you're trying to educate your audience, but you've got 27,000 followers and your post is seen by 134. And you're like, that's not going to help. Yeah. So it's a mission. So flipping this completely around, actually, I'll tell you what I do want to ask you. Can you then explain to everybody, because obviously I know how it works, how it can be that if I want you to do a psychic reading on me, I don't need to be sat in front of you?
So I've got a very simple way of explaining this, because I've had to explain it so many times. And I think the best way for me to explain it to people, and I say this to my clients all the time, the psychic spirit world isn't a physical entity. Your energy is not a physical entity. My spirit guide is not a physical entity. Your energy and the way you project your energy is not done physically. So spirit and spirit guides and your relatives in the spirit world don't need you to be in a physical room with me for me to be able to pick up on your energy, whether I'm reading on you as a medium or as a clairvoyant. You know, it's all done on energy. So energy is not a physical entity. It is something that is felt and seen spiritually and psychically, but not in the physical essence. It's a completely different dimension to the one that we live in. And I always say to my clients as well that, you know, we're all born with psychic abilities. And the reason that so many of us shut down is because we get to a certain point in our lives and we're told that this is right and this is wrong, which is why children are more inclined to see spirit, because their mind hasn't yet been programmed that dimension actually doesn't exist. So that dimension is not physical. And I always say to people as well, you know, we all read in very different ways. I prefer reading remotely for various different reasons, but there are psychics that prefer not to read remotely, and that's absolutely fine. But where I have concerns is that if somebody insists that they have to read you remotely, that they cannot read you remotely, I then start questioning, are they cold reading you?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And there's a whole other thing we could get into, but I'm trying not to make this the world's rantiest podcast. Yeah. I do struggle with it. Listeners will know. But there's also the element of professional scamming that is happening by modern mediums, where, and I'm very choosy about who I have on this podcast for that reason, because some of the bigger names in the UK, they're not working with any spirit at all. They're just...
I know for a fact that there are a couple of bigger pages than mine, and I have had proof. And look, this, you know, I think you can only be, I can make sure that I'm being ethical, and there's not much I can do apart from warn clients, but I know of bigger pages that copy and paste readings.
Absolutely. I've done tests.
Yeah.
You know, I've had messages from people in the spirit world, like my dad, who's not in spirit. Like, you know, and I get that sometimes we'll get it wrong. Like, I'm not saying that sometimes I said to someone yesterday, this feels like a mum, and it was her grandma. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. It really feels like a mum. She must have brought you up. And she did. So I'm not saying that I never would get that wrong.
There's a difference, though. I think when you give readings as well, it can feel like a maternal energy or a paternal energy. Or, you know, so it how an energy feels to how it is, it can be very different. But this is the thing, and I think I think there is a lot of charlatans going around that unfortunately are giving our business a really bad reputation.
Agreed.
And so I think it's very frustrating when clients go, are you going to scam me?
Oh, I know. And I just
hard not to get offended, because you're a bit like, well, if I was going to scam you, why would you be asking me? But at the same time, I can understand.
I had when things got a bit bigger for me on lockdown, and I was getting a lot of trolls and stuff like that, I actually did sit with spirit and just go, oh, I can't take it. I feel like I'm being attacked. And then they were showing me, and they got different stories actually inboxed to me from people just randomly, as the way that spirit do. And I have to say, if your mum was contacted by one of the bigger name mediums and said, I've got a man in spirit here, is it your dad? Is it your grandfather? Because they send out these automated messages. And then this woman had spent £3,000 ringing hotlines trying to get hold of her son, because as soon as she saw it was male, she went, oh, my son is in spirit, and rang. But of course they weren't communicating with spirit, and she kept thinking, oh, maybe I'll try another one, maybe it was the wrong time, maybe I didn't ring back quick enough. You're gonna hate all mediums.
Yeah.
And there's no you can't explain to somebody whose mum has been through that we're not all like that, because that is their experience. So it's hard. Some people troll for the sake of trolling, and some people have got a genuine upset. Anyway, let's leave all that behind, Nick. Tell me about your favourite part of being a medium.
Definitely connecting with different types of people, getting to meet different types of people. I'm very disciplined in trying to keep a line between my work and my friendships with clients, because I think sometimes it can all become very blurry. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely love getting to meet different types of people, and I've been very lucky to have a lot of clients from Australia, Canada, America, and I just love that I'm able to reach so many people and to help so many people. But also I think really being able to offer a hope and guidance, mm-hmm, to, you know, people that are in, you know, at a really, really difficult time. I take it very seriously, and I feel very honored that, you know, people would trust me to help them. And I think that's the part that I love most, is that you can sort of be a glimmer of hope in somebody's really, really bad day, if that makes sense. And absolutely, I absolutely love that.
Absolutely. And I completely agree with your take on readings, that they are about your potential. If you go for a reading and you come out feeling worse than when you went in, it's not right. Because they, you know, the spirit world always believe, don't they, regardless of where you're at and what you're going through, that you can turn it around. They always believe.
And this is the thing. And I think as a medium, you have a responsibility to deliver readings in a certain way, haven't you? We've all had some very difficult messages that we've had to pass on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had a client the other day, and she contacted me at like 10 o'clock at night in a complete panic. And because her sister had had a reading, and this medium had told her some things, and now they were all panicking. And I think, and you know, I always say to clients, if you come away from a reading feeling that way, then I would really question the integrity of that reading. Mm-hmm. Because regardless of how difficult the message is, you should never come away feeling panicked. It may be very different if you come away feeling a little bit deflated because you didn't hear what you wanted to hear, but it's very different if you come away feeling panicked.
Absolutely agreed. So just to finish up, a couple of flippant and much easier questions than I've been hitting you with. Do you have a favorite set of cards?
I don't always work with cards, but I think my favorite set of cards would be my angel cards by Dorian Virtue.
Lovely.
I don't get to work with cards very often because Spirit are very good in giving me and passing on messages. But I do love to pull a card now and again, or when I feel that I should, you know, and I love my angel cards.
Yeah, and they're just fun, aren't they? Someone said to me the other day, mediums don't like to admit they use them. And I was like, what? I've got a massive collection. I was like, they're fun. What? They're fun.
I love using cards. And actually, I don't even just use them in readings. Like in the morning when I wake up and I feel like I need a little bit of a boost, or I need a little bit of a message from spirit, or I'm feeling a little bit apprehensive about something, I pull a card. And I think anybody can pull cards, you know, even if you're not a psychic, you can go out there and buy a pack of cards and, you know, use them as guidance from spirit.
Exactly. And like you say, they're always hopeful. They're always... tough times, but you can get through it. I mean, sometimes I get a pull your head out your bum card and I go, yeah, thanks. I know I needed that. But generally speaking, that, you know, they keep on. Yeah. And if people wanted to book with you for a reading, obviously I'm going to put your link to your page and everything in the show notes. But what would you tell them to do to prepare?
I wouldn't say that you need to be overly prepared. I think if you've already booked a reading, it's really just been as relaxed as possible. I think for me, the most important thing going into a reading, whether it be with me or anybody else, is to be really open. Don't go into a reading wanting... we all have things that we want to hear, but I think have an open mind, because you won't necessarily come away hearing everything you want to hear. But in every reading that I try to do, I always try to give a message of hope and leave you feeling empowered.
Absolutely.
And I think for me, that's the most important thing. Have an open mind. Be prepared that you may not hear everything that you want to hear, but that you will come away from my readings feeling empowered and feeling better and more hopeful.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I've loved talking to you.
It's been amazing.
I could keep going for another hour, but we've got clients. So thank you, Nick. Have a lovely day.
You too.